Let's hear the reading of God's Word. And sometimes I think we don't read enough orally of the Word of God in the services. I notice in some of the African-American churches that I go in, they never fail to have an Old Testament and a New Testament reading, as well as the reading that the pastor has from the Word of God. And we need to hear and absorb the Word of God. Listen as I read the 86th Psalm. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious and long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Shew me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, O Lord, hath opened me and comforted me. And again from Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp, and with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they should be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall see thy desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to shew that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious word. Doesn't it just bless your heart to hear the word of God? Doesn't it just bless you to go through the scriptures and just bask in who God is? I'm going to preach on something I learned in school tonight. Can you imagine this? That I learned in school to say before I ate the dinner at school, to bow my head with my teachers down at Narris Elementary School when I was a little boy. And we would say, God is great. And God is good. And we thank him for this food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that children were taught that in American schools? Oh, that public schools would open their hearts to God and say the blessing. Well, they've persecuted some of our children for saying the blessing themselves. But let me tell you something, folks. If the kid wants to say the blessing, he's free to do it. If the teacher's not free to tell him to do it, but the kid's free to do it. And if your kid goes in and asks the blessing and somebody says something to him about it, you just holler, because we'll holler with you. because they have taken away your freedom and they can't do that. Child is free to bow his head and ask the blessing if he wants to. But our teachers in years gone by taught us to say that God is great and God is good. And I praise God for that that went down in the hearts of my generation and generations thereafter. You see, when we talk about God's greatness and God's goodness, it's hard to separate his greatness from his goodness. If it wasn't for the fact that God is good, his greatness would overwhelm us. We couldn't stand it. We couldn't stand to be around him. We couldn't stand to have a relationship with him if he wasn't good. But while I was sick, I was in a doctor's office or somewhere, and I was sitting and looking at a butterfly bush. And you know what a butterfly bush is, and they do indeed attract butterflies. And as I watched the butterfly bush and its beautiful lavender blossoms, it was covered with wonderful butterflies, great yellow butterflies and black butterflies and orange butterflies and little bitty white butterflies, and all over the bush they were there. And as I looked at it, I thought how great God is, that in one sentence, in one word, he created all the butterflies in the world. In one word, he created all the ants and all the spiders and all the centipedes and all the insects that are on the earth, every cricket and hornet and bee and everything that's in the world as an insect. In one word, he created it all. In one word, he created every plant, every little weed, every little plant, every little thing that grows in the whole world. In one sentence, he created all of the heavens, the stars, the moons, the suns, and put them in their place. Oh, how great the mind of God is, that he could create in one sentence every fish that's in the ocean and every bird that flies in the air. He just simply said, let the oceans be full of fish and amphibians, creeping things. Let them bring forth birds that fly in the air. And he created all of that in one sentence. Now, we mull around about what we're making and what we're creating in Washington and other places about how we're going to get it done. And God simply said, let there be, and there was. How great he is in his creation. The scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God. One of my favorite times to pray is at night. You know why? Because the sun isn't turning the atmosphere blue. I can see through it and see that we're surrounded in the heavens with a great cloud of the witnesses of God. Now, Romans chapter 1, I think it is, says that there's not any excuse for not knowing that there's a God, because all the creation around us is testifying to us of the greatness and the goodness of God. In fact, the universe is so great and so big that we have to measure it in light years. And you say, well, what in the world is a light year? Well, light travels at 186,253 miles a second. Multiply that by 60, and that's how many miles it travels in a minute. And by 60 again, that's how many travels in an hour. And by 24, that's how many it travels in a day. And by 365, that's how many miles light travels in a year. That's why it's measured in light years. The universe that around us is so big that God has created, and he did it. His mind was so wonderful that he created. You know how much that multiplication comes out to? Comes out to be 5,878,786,000 miles. Now, that's a lot of miles, folks. That's a lot of miles. We think it's a lot of miles to go from here to California. My goodness, only 25,000 miles around the earth. And yet he created that. Now, the sun is only 93 million miles away from us. So it's not even a light year away from us. But the nearest star, you have to multiply that number by 4.3 times to get how far the nearest star is. And the nearest galaxy to us is 2 million of those light years away from us. Now, I have to tell you, folks, that's big. That overwhelms me. And some nights I go out and stand under the stars and look up there and see the Milky Way, and I'm aware that that's the center of our universe and that we're spinning around it. I'm aware that that Milky Way has got more stars in it and more bodies, some of them are not stars, some of them are bodies, than we can number. Our scientists with their fancy telescopes and all they have cannot begin to number the bodies and the stars that are in our Milky Way. And yet the nearest galaxy to our Milky Way is 2 million light years away. Now, if you want to do the math and multiply 2 million by 5,878,786,100,000 miles, then you'll begin to realize how big the universe is. And when you look at the mind of God in one moment, one sentence of 10 words, I think it is, He created all of that. He said, let there be lights in heaven above, let there be stars and moons and suns, and all of those things He created just by saying so. What a great God He is in His creation, that in that one sentence, God embodied all of that. And then I look at the earth and what He's created in the earth, and just, you know what a fungi is? You know what a fungus is? Do you realize that there's 1.6 million different kinds of fungus in the world? And God, in saying, let there be plants, created all of that? Do you realize that He created in one word over 10,000 different kinds of ants? Do you realize that in one word He created over 300,000 different kinds of plants? Do you realize that He created over 10,000 different species of birds, just in one word? There's between 4,000 and 5,000 different kinds of mammals that He created. What a great God we have. And when we talk about our God, we're talking about not talking about somebody that just plays along. We're talking about a great God that fills all this universe and created it all. And I say that as a statement of faith. You can tell your biology teacher, the preacher said, he said that none of this evolved, that all of it was created by the Word of God. Every bit of it was created that way. And when you look at the human body, man, this is one of the crowning glories. I mean, we're created out of dirt. He reached down from heaven and took the dirt of the earth and created a man and breathed to him the breath of life. And every human being that lives, because Eve was taken out of Adam's side. You say, you believe that story? I believe that story. I believe God put Adam to sleep and performed the first operation, took out a rib out of his side. No, men don't have less ribs than women. It's just Adam had one less rib. Everybody else had the same. And God made Eve out of her, out of him. And all men were created out of that one pair. And what a marvelous job He did. Now, everything else God spoke into existence. But human beings God created with His hands and breathed into them His own breath to make them live. And you say, well, you know, human beings, wonderful. Yes, when you look at the filtration system of the kidneys, Charlie, and you look at the chemical factory that the liver is, when you look at the heart and figure out how many millions of times it beats every lifetime, why, if we could get mileage out of our trucks and cars like we get out of our heart, why, we'd be doing something else. We'd only own one car in a lifetime. That's all we'd ever have to have. Because our old heart, it beats 24/7. You can't let your car do that. You can't let hardly anything that man's made work 24/7, 365 days a year, and hold up. And for years and years and years and years, and we expect to live 70 years, and people nowadays are living 80, 90, and 100 years, and that old heart just keeps ticking, and that brain, my friend, all of the things that the brain can do. And do you know what? You know what's the amazing thing about this body? It's made up out of 60 trillion, let me say that again, it's made out of 60 trillion cells. And if you have a super microscope and can look at one of them cells, you're going to find that each one of those little cells that you can't see with your eye, can't even see with a regular microscope, but with a super microscope, you can see those cells. You find out that that cell is another world within itself. It resembles the whole universe. It's a microcosm of everything that's going on. That cell is able to take nutrients into it. It's able to take those nutrients and manufacture them into the energy that it needs. It's able. It has a waste disposal system and is able to get the waste away from it. And it's able to make itself do the specific thing that it's designed to do in the start. Now, if you can believe that all that just evolved by an accident in a swamp somewhere, my friend, you've got a lot of faith in accidents. I can tell you that we are the creation of God. God created us in His image and after His likeness and made us like we was, all 60 trillion cells that are in the human body. You know the most amazing cell that's in the human body is the egg that the female has in her ovaries. You see, when that little egg comes down and gets fertilized, it knows how to make cells. It starts dividing. First it's one cell, and then it divides its two cells, and then it's three cells, and four cells, and it keeps dividing. In fact, it divides geometrically, and it makes a little baby. And within that female egg cell, there is the knowledge to make other cells that know how to make, well, hearts and livers and lungs and kidneys and eyes and fingernails and toenails and skin. And skin's one of the most wonderful things you'll ever study. And muscles. And it all divides up. And my friend, our God is so great that in taking dirt from the ground and forming it into a man and a woman, taking from the woman from the man, He created that egg cell in the woman. But He gave the man the key to unlock that cell that it can get started in his sperm. What a wonderful God we've got. How great is our God. And in this we praise Him. Our God is a great God. And He's great in His creation. Do you realize when you get in the revelation and you hear the wind up of everything and you look into heaven and you see through the eyes of John, the revelator, what's going on in heaven? What are they doing? We are praising God for what? For the great creator that He is. Go in Revelation and read it. They're praising God that He is the great creator, that He has created all things. Our God is great. He is so great that He's omniscient. You say, that's a big old Greek word. What does that mean? That means He knows everything. God knows the beginning, God knows the end, and God knows the middle. God knows the secrets of every creation that He's made. God knows the secrets of every heart that lives. God knows the secrets of every mind. If you think your thoughts are hid from God, forget it. My friend, God knows what you're thinking before you think it. God knows who you were when you were in your mother's womb, when your father planted the seed that unlocked the key to the egg in your mother's womb. My friend, God was there to record it. If you don't believe it, you read the 139th Psalm. And He says, when I was being formed in the secret places of the earth, Thou recorded all of my members as they were formed in a book. My friend, it's sad to think that the recording angels in heaven are recording the birth of a child inside of a womb. When a doctor's tube bursts that womb open and sucks that child out and throws it in the trash can. My friend, that's recorded in the book of heaven. God knows that and God has a record of it in heaven. You see, read the 139th Psalm. David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, He said, your thoughts about me, God, are so many that the sum of them I could not know. And He said, and what else is He? He's omnipresent. What does that mean? That means that God's everywhere present at the same time. Now, let me tell you something. Some people want to give the devil credit for that. But I can tell you the old devil himself can be, he's an angel. He's a seraphim. He can only be, or a cherubim, not a seraphim. He can only be present in one place at one time. Now, unfortunately, he has millions of imps, we like to call them, millions of fallen angels that are with him that are demons, and they work with him. But let me tell you something. The devil himself can only be one place at one time. And I don't believe he can read your mind. I don't believe he can know what's on the inside of you. I believe if you're full of the Holy Ghost and God's Spirit's living in you and you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't believe Satan can read your mind. And you don't need to tell him everything you know because he don't need to know everything you think. And God has not shared with the devil the secrets of his universe. God has not shared with the devil the secrets of his creation And God has not shared with the devil the secrets of what he's going to do. The only thing that Satan knows about what God's going to do is what God has given through his prophets. That's why Satan hates preachers and prophets of God so much. Because God is working out through human beings his great plan of salvation, his magnificent plan of salvation. And Satan and angels, not just Satan, listen, the holy men of God desired to look into this. Angels of old desired to look into this, the Bible said. But you know what? They couldn't see it. And as God works through the church of the living God here on earth, angels are standing in heaven saying, did you ever? Have you ever seen anything like that? They are amazed at what God has done. They could not see all about Christ coming to earth and dying. They could not see his resurrection like you can see it today. My friend, they watched from the parapets of heaven as God, through Christ, worked out his wonderful plan in this earth. And as God, through the church of God on this earth, works out his plan, the angels watch in awe. And as they see what God has done. You see, my friend, we praise him for his omniscience because God knows everything. And we praise him for his omnipresence because he's everywhere present at once. Psalm 139 Psalm goes on to say, I could not go into the darkness and hide from him. He says, if I got up with the rising of the sun and traveled with the sun the whole day long around the earth till it comes up again, I could not hide from the presence of God. He said, if I made my bed in hell, I could not hide from the presence of God. My friend, there's no place that God is not. There's no cranny, no hole, no crevice that he does not feel. He was in the bottom of the ship with Jonah when he hid from the presence of God. And my friend, God Almighty has been omnipresent. He's not only omnipresent, but he's omnipotent. You say, what does that mean? That's a big old Greek word. It means he has all the power that there is. He is the Almighty God. There's no might beside of him. There's no power beside of him. The power of the atom that we feel so proud that we've unlocked and smashed the atom and made the atom bomb and smashed the hydrogen atom and made the hydrogen bomb. And we say, what power is in that tiny microscopic atom that we could loose it? My friend, all the power that's in the universe is in God Almighty. He not only feels the universe, he not only created the universe, he not only knows everything that there is to know, but he has all the power that there is. There's no power you can unlock in the atom, in the hydrogen atom or the other atoms to unlock the power of God. God's power is almighty, and he has chosen through the Holy Ghost to unleash that power in human beings and in their lives. That's why we can have miracles, is because he sets aside the laws of nature and does it. My brothers and sisters, in his omniscience, in his omnipresence, in his omnipotence, in the greatness of God, we worship him today. We give him praise and glory and honor. My friend, we ought not to sing no sad songs. We ought not to sing no syrupy, sentimental songs, but we ought to sing praises unto God. My friend, we ought to sing glory unto him. It's not worthy of being called a hymn unless we praise and glorify the God of heaven. What a great God he is to create this universe and to create us, the people that we are, to give us the power of procreation. You know, Satan don't have that power. He resents us in our sexuality. He resents men being men. He resents women being women. And he resents the fact that men and women have the power before God as a gift from God to create a new human life that is and has a living soul. My friend, that's why he pushes homosexuality so forcefully. That's why the news people are full of it. People are afraid to say anything. They're mad at Chick-fil-A. I hope you go out and support Chick-fil-A. I hope every one of you go out and buy something at Chick-fil-A. And when you get there, tell them, praise God. My friend, that man has a right to say that. That man has a right to close his stores on Sunday and to be against homosexuality. And I want to tell you, my friend, I'm against what Satan is trying to do. You see, my friend, God has created us male and female, And He created us that way for a purpose. And God's wondrous purpose of life is being worked out in our maleness and in our femaleness. God's power is being manifested in all of that, and God's greatness is being manifested, and Satan wants to tear it down. Satan wants us to use our sexuality for bestiality, for homosexuality, for lewdness, and for whoredom. My friend, God has created us the way we were for His glory and by Himself. God, my friend, is great in His creation and in what He has done through us and to us. And God is great in His majesty and holiness. You can't approach God. You can't see God. If you saw God in your sinful human body, my friend, you'd be destroyed. No man can see the face of God and live. God has clothed Himself in light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. I've told you about a dream I had before I was saved when God drew me to Him. Standing on Angel's Rest and looking over a destroyed world that was lost and undone without God, and the Savior was coming. But my friend, you say, what did He look like? It was Him, but He was in such bright light and clouds that I could not tell you anything about what He looked like. He was so glorious and He was so marvelous in His light. God hath clothed Himself in light. Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and John the Apostle have been privileged in vision to be transported to heaven and to see the Lord. And you know where the Lord is when He sees Him in heaven? He's on the throne. You see, Isaiah said, in the day that King Uzziah died, I was carried away in the Spirit, and I was carried up to heaven. You see, the throne of Israel was empty. The earthly king of Israel had died, and the question is, Uzziah was a good king, and the question is, what's going to happen? My friend, don't worry about it. If the White House is empty, the throne is occupied. I can tell you, if the throne of Israel is empty, the throne in heaven is occupied. And King Uzziah died, and it was a bleak time. And it was a time that they had to say to one another, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen now that Uzziah is not on the throne? My friend, God opened up the door of heaven and said, look, Isaiah, look. And he looked, and there sat God Almighty on the throne. And if you read the New Testament, you'll find out that that's none other than Jesus Christ being pre-incarnate, sitting on the throne of glory in heaven. And my friend, he looked into the brightness and the glory of God, and he saw God clothed in His brightness, and he had to know that He is who? The Most High God. There's no higher high than God on the throne. There's no place higher than Him on the throne. He is, praise God, the Most High, Almighty God, and He's sitting on the throne of His glory. Let me tell you something, my friend. He's never been touched by a shadow. The Scripture said in Him there's no turning, not even a shadow is cast by Him. He's light in every direction, before and behind and on every side. God is light, and He's shining in the brightness of His glory and on His throne in heaven. My friend, He's never been touched by sin. Never once has He lied. Never once has He told a story to put you off. Never once has anything entered into the mind or the mouth of God that is not good. You see, we glorify God in His greatness because His greatness is manifested in His character. God's character never fails. God's character never turns. I may catch you in a bad mood. I may catch you in a hormone spree. I may catch you when you've been taking pills and you're not thinking straight. I may catch you when you're drinking. I hope that wouldn't be true of anybody here. But we catch people when they've been drinking, and they're fuzzy-headed and fuzzy-minded and fuzzy-eyed, and they can't walk straight and all kinds of things. You never caught God that way. My friend, God has always been God from eternity past to eternity future and eternity going on now. My friend, God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am God alone. There's none beside me. There's none like me, and I change not. My brothers and sisters, God's character has never changed and never will change. God clothed in the light of His glory in heaven. All you have to do is read Isaiah chapter 6 and read Ezekiel when he was carried into the temple and read Revelation when John was carried into heaven on the Lord's day. And my friend, I look up there and there's God sitting on the throne, and around Him there are seraphim. You know what that word means? It means fire. These guys are on fire, and they've got six wings. and one set of wings. They dare not reproach the face of God. They cover their face with their wings. Another set of wings, they cover their bottom body and cover their feet with their wings. And the other set of wings, they use to fly. And they're winnowing around. They're flying around the throne of God. And as they fly around the throne of God, the seraphim over here hollers to the cherubim over there. And he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that one echoes back to him and he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And surrounding the blinding white light of the throne of God are the seraphim as they flap their wings and as they cover themselves and as they glorify the God of heaven. And outside of them, they are cherubim. No, not little fat babies that are naked with wings on their back. My friend, cherubim who have faces of oxes and faces of eagles and faces of lions and faces of a man, who look and have eyes before and behind, who have faces on every side, and every face is different, and their wings are there, and they are to guard the throne of God. My friend, if I were to walk up there in my sin-cursed body to the throne of God, the cherubim would kill me before I got a chance to get close. It would be like sending a gnat into the sun. My friend, I would be vaporized on the place, on the point of my being there. What a great God He is. And we look at Him and He's great in His majesty and in His holiness and He's great in His character. My friend, we could not stand such a great God if He were not a good God. We could not stand such a great God. He would have destroyed us long ago. But the wonderful truth is that God's character is always good. In all of this greatness of creation, in all of this power to create suns and stars and moons, in all of this creation to create worlds and to create many worlds in 60 trillion cells in the human body, my friend, God is good. God loves His creation. When He got to the end of the 6 days of creation and looked back at it, God said, "Behold, it's very good." And He was looking at Adam. And when He took Eve out of Adam's side, He said, "Behold, it's very good. It's not good for a man to be alone, but he must have a help that's meet to serve with him." And He created Eve to be with Him. In all of His greatness, in all of His wonders works, in all of the things, that all the power we've discovered, we can smash a little tiny atom and blow away the whole city of Hiroshima, Japan, and Nagasaki. We can destroy a whole city. We can destroy millions of human beings in just one moment by smashing one of these microscopic atoms in a power play. My friend, God has all of that power. He is almighty. He is most high. He is most holy. He is most righteous. But He's good. How often is God good? Say it again. How often is God good? He's good when you get up in the morning. He's good when you go to bed at night. He's good when you wake up in the wee hours of the night. He's good when you've sinned. He's good when you've tried your best and it hadn't done good enough. He's good and great and God when everything you could do in life has failed and everything you loved in life has slipped away from you and you've lost it and nothing's worked out like you wanted it to. My friend, He's still a good God. And when you've sinned and you've come short of His glory and you've failed Him, my friend, He's still a good God. God is good. His Word is always true. What did I preach to you last Sunday? It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And listen, God has thoughts about you. Read the Bible. It says God thinks about you. God has thoughts about you. And God's intentions to you are never bad. God's never sat up in heaven and said, "Look at that stupid little Eddie Kendall down there. What a squirty little preacher he is standing around down there. I can't stand him. I think I'll just zap him off like we'd zap a fly off of flypaper." My friend, I can tell you that God's thoughts to me are good. Jenny, when God thinks about you, it's for your good. Tom, when God thinks about you, it's for your good. Brother Carter, when God thinks about you, it's for your good. God looks up there on the hill at Bunker Hill and thinks good things about Cecil and Peggy. God is a good God, and His thoughts about you are good. God, why, we talk about praying to God, and we say,
Well, you better be careful how you pray. You might get what you want. You better be careful how you pray. You might get what you're asking for. Let me tell you something, my friend. If my child comes in and asks for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm not going to give him a snake. I'm going to give him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and maybe an ice cream cone to go with it. My friend, God thinks good about you. God is not going to listen to you praying and say, well, let's just give him what he asked for. God knows the intentions of your heart, and he knows what you meant when you asked for it. And my friend, his intentions and thoughts about you are good thoughts. This great God that's done all of this that I've been talking about means to do you good and has promised that he'll never forsake you, that he'll never leave you, but he'll be with you always, even if it's the end of the world. And my friend, between now and the end of the world, Brother Carter, you'll testify to this, there can be some lonely times, can't there? But God is there. You're never alone. Lois, you know that. There can be some lonely times in this world, but God is with you. God is there. He's there to comfort you, to hold you, to take you up, and his intentions for you are good. And I have to tell you something about God. To hear some preachers preach, you'd think God is mad as old wet hen all day long. To hear some preachers preach, you'd think God is just waiting. God, just wait till the next time he sins. I'm going to zap him with leprosy. Just wait till the next time he sins. I'm going to give him lumbago. Just wait till the next time he sins. I'm going to do something mean to him. I'm going to teach him. To hear some preachers preach, you'd think all God ever thinks about is judgment. All you'd ever think about is that God ever thinks about is hell, fire, and damnation. Let me tell you something. It's not God's will for any human being to perish. Isn't that what the book says? It's not his will for any human being to perish, but for all to come repentance. God doesn't want a lost soul in hell. Not one. Not even Judas. Judas could have repented. Peter did just as bad as Judas. Judas did it once. Peter did it three times. And they both went out and wept bitterly. But what was the difference? Peter came to the Lord, and the Lord gave him a chance to repent. Three times Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord came to Peter in front of everybody and says, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. He did this in front of everybody to give Peter a chance to confess openly. And then what did he say? He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Oh, my friend, he gave Peter a charge. He gave Peter a chance to repent. All he had to do was come back. My friend, the Heavenly Father was standing at the door waiting for the prodigal son to come back up that road. He was covered in hog dirt, and he was skinny, and he was naked, and he was ugly. But he said, that's my son that's coming home. And he didn't wait for him to get to the house. He didn't wait for him to confess. When he saw him coming up the road to the house, the father run out and did what? He said, you dirty, low-down, stinking son of mine, not worthy of anything I had, you ought to take a bath and clean up and crawl on your hands and knees in the house and ask me to forgive you. What did he do? He run down and grabbed that young'un around the neck and hugged him, dirt and all, took him to the hog trough or the horse trough maybe, and washed him off there in the field and said, bring him some new clothes and some shoes for his feet and put the signet ring on his finger because my son was dead and he's alive again and he's come home. My friend, I can tell you that God's judgment is the Father's thing from his mind. The Bible said that judgment's a strange thing with God. God doesn't want to zap anybody. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. God wants to save people. You see, we glorify God in his character because his character is good and his mercy endureth forever. The scripture said, in fact, that his mercy is new every morning. My brothers and sisters, how could you not want a great and a good God like this? God is great and God is good. Hallelujah. Would you give God a hand clap tonight? Fact is, would you wave your hands and give him praise tonight? For he's worthy of praise. Great, eternal, good God, we thank you for your goodness and your greatness tonight. We thank you for salvation and redemption and for the wondrous things that you've done in the universe and that you've done in our lives. We thank you for making it possible for us to be saved and for us to be redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise your holy, precious, and eternal and glorious name for all that you are and who you are and what you are. Thank you, Father, for every cell you've created. Thank you for the goodness and the greatness of God in your creation and especially in your dealings with human beings. Hallelujah. Oh, we love the Lord tonight. And we're going to sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. There could not have been a more appropriate song than this song tonight. And I want you to stand and I want you to sing with us. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. We'll be glad to pray with any needs you have and pray for anything that's going on in your life. But we'll just be glad to rejoice with you for what God has done for you and in your midst. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Father, bless these people as we sing tonight. Touch their hearts. Take the words of the message and let the greatness and the goodness of God go down in our hearts to make us serve you better than ever before. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it.
I love you.
that we can pray to this great and good God? And you know what he said? He said, I'm on your side. I read that in the book of Romans. I read Romans chapter 8, and all at once, he said, if God be for us, hallelujah, God is for us, this great and good God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. For he spared not his own son, how much more will he not freely give us all things? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you believe in prayer? Amen. Not just to make you feel good, but because it works. And there's answers to prayer. Hallelujah. As you go through this week, you trust this great and good God every day that you live. I want to praise God that Wayne didn't get hurt so bad when he fell the other day. Amen. He's able to be here this morning and this evening. Praise God. As you go this week, may God go with you. Father, we pray the benediction of the Holy Ghost, the word of life, and the power of grace and truth will go with your people this week and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.